Welcome back to 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Coming up here at the end of the Cubs game, World Series Game 2, we'll have the post game with Carm, Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Kevin Powell out in Cleveland. The Cubs right now in the sixth inning, leading 5-0.
Woo-hoo!
Game 2. That's right. Well, this weekend is the Rockin' Skull Fest at the Tree in Joliet. The three-day festival features some of the great names in hard rock. You got L.A. Guns, Danger Danger, P.J. Farley from band Trickster. That's great. And my next guest, Johnny Gioeli. Johnny's a frontman for Hardline. He's going to be playing Unplugged tomorrow night at 8:30. The band Hardline's having a bit of a resurgence. The hard rock outfit just put out a new album called Human Nature, which we just heard a little bit of the song there, Where Will We Go From Here. The record is charting on Billboard right now, and Johnny continues to work on his solo record. We talked with him a couple months ago now, here on the download, and we invited him in studio. He said, when you get to Chicago, you got to come in. I think I said that at the end, and Johnny Gioeli was good on his word, and he is in studio tonight.
Right,
Johnny, good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. Yeah, they didn't really want me here. Security tried to stop me.
Right.
I busted through, and here I am, man.
They'll let you in with the short hair. When you're the long hair, they're going to let you in.
Yeah, you're standing outside.
Talk about that. You know, I'm always intrigued by festivals like Rockin' Skull, where there's a 3 or 4 days of just band after band after hard rock band. Talk about these festivals, because this is in the sort of almost in the same feel as the old Monsters of Rock and those kind of shows.
It is, man. Yeah. And, you know, there is a tremendous, even though, you know, music has run its course of different styles and, you know, things going on and a lot of change, there is that old school cult following, sort of a Grateful Dead following for 80s music. And some of the festivals that I play worldwide, you would be absolutely amazed, man. People camp out. They're 3-4
really?
Days. They don't shower for like 7 weeks. It's brutal. But thank God the stage is about 50 feet away from the people. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I mean, it really is a true hard rock following.
Well,
in,
how do you,
every
I mean,
essence of the
for
word.
You, I mean, we'll talk Hardline in a minute, but, you know, just when you combine the idea of the resurgence with this idea of nostalgia, this concept that there are a lot of people who are coming to Rockin' Skull because they want to see LA Guns, they want to see you, they want to see, but there is, how do you balance in your career the idea of being relevant and being sort of, you know, in the band, you just put out a record and sort of, you know, accepting the nostalgia of it?
Well, you know, I think, you know, for me, I love this music and it brings me to a place, you know, I can tell you stories back when we're in Hollywood.
I'm going to ask him.
I want to hear him.
Okay.
But, you know, it brings us, the fans and myself, to a happy place, man. It was a good time period. It was positive. It was fun. And, you know, everyone wants to, you know, life's hard. And everyone wants to live that moment again. So thank God for these great festivals that keep this, you know, alive. So, yeah, you know, and I'm going to just keep going as long as I can. As long as the people want to listen, I'm going
to
keep playing.
Well, I mean, for you to put out the Hardline, to put out the new record, which was just released last week.
Yes.
You talk about that. Talk about the new album, the experience of getting back together. I mean, it's the same lineup you've had for a couple years now. What should we expect from Human Nature?
Well, you know, I love this record. I'm doing a lot of running, literal running, physical running, and I listen to this album all the time. It's one of these albums that, you know, grows on you. And, you know, the reviews have been so amazing. And again, like you said, it hit the Billboard charts, entered at number 41, which is really great. And I actually had to sit down after I saw that and take a really deep breath, because I haven't charted since 1992 with Hardline, with Double Eclipse. And Double Eclipse had some big songs like Hot Cherie, Taking Me Down, and these songs went to number 6 and number 4. And but just to see that happen again, it really was amazing to me. And the album has that kind of feel.
How has the process changed for you? I mean, to talk about being in the same band, and it's different members, but I mean, to talk about, you know, from 1992 to now, when you're putting a Hardline record together, a hard rock Hardline record in 2016, what's different from back in 1992?
Well, honestly, man, nothing much. I say this a lot. As a songwriter, we have to write, you know, you should, as an artist, write music that pleases you first, in the hopes that Everyone else loves the music. So that's exactly what I do. I don't try to make these albums something they're not or something what, you know, I think people want to hear.
You're not doing a rap rock album.
No, I'm not doing a rap reggae country twist. No, not at all. So, you know, you just stay true to your roots, and I try not to sway from that. You know, I've been a little experimental, and you know, shortly after Double Eclipse, when the entire world was confused, and we had, you know, Pearl Jam. What the hell is he saying? I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, so. You know, and I experimented a little bit like that and said, wait a minute, that's not me. I need to write what I write, and if people accept it, great. If they don't, okay, no problem.
Well, we'll take a quick break, and we'll get an update on tonight's news, get an update on the Cubs game as well. And Johnny Gioeli in studio with me tonight. He's playing Unplugged tomorrow night as part of the Rock and Skull Fest, which is at the Tree in Joliet. It's a weekend festival. There's so many great bands from hard rock, you know, the 80s and 90s hard rock bands that are playing this weekend in Joliet. We come back. Let's go back to that time. Let's go back to the 80s. Let's talk about the other bands you were in, Sunset Strip, Van Halen. All that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're just hitting the sweet spot.
Oh, let's do it.
John, stay with us.
Will you ever be the mother that we lost? Now our tears are falling down. We pay the highest cost. You will find your peace only to be alone without.
It's 720 WGN. It's a download here. I'm Justin Kaufman with you until 11 o'clock tonight. Post game coming up here at the end of World Series Game 2. Music you're hearing, the title track, Human Nature, the new record from the band Hardline. Johnny Gioeli, the lead singer, and the and also your solo work. He's going to be Unplugged at the Rock and Skull Fest at the Tree in Joliet this weekend. Johnny's my guest in studio.
It used to be a bush, but they gave it a lot of water. Now it's a tree.
Well, I mean, the Rock and Skull Fest is going to have, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, so many people, you know, members formerly of Bad Company, Trickster, LA Guns, the band LA Guns will be there. I mean, it really is sort of, in a way, a walk down memory lane. I mean,
it is. You know, it's like an 80s hair reunion minus the hair.
Minus the hair. Let's talk about that time. I promised the listeners that we'd talk a little bit about that time. But, you know, you have such a special story in the way that, you know, you were this up-and-coming rocker who, you know, had the look, got into the business, went to LA. Talk about your experience getting into sort of hard rock hair metal.
Sure, yeah. Well, we actually started out on the East Coast, and we were in this group called Killer Hit. And we decided, I was 18 years old, we decided we need to move to California. So
why? Because that's where the bands were. That's where Motley Crue was.
That's
Poison.
Exactly.
Those bands.
The industry was there, and Poison came from Harrisburg area, not too far from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I'm from. And
really,
yeah. And so we decided to go out there and go for it. I remember my brother sold his car. We sold everything. We bought this beat up tour bus. It was actually Jimmy Buffett's crew bus. This thing was brutal. I mean, we like lost brakes.
Are we talking about here? This would be...
This is... 80, so this was 87.
Okay. Right at the height of...
Yeah. I mean, it was all happening.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, so the day we pulled into California, you know, we went, of course, to the Rainbow, the famous Rainbow, and there was Bret Michaels sitting there having dinner. He just got off tour and was having dinner. I don't know about you, but when I get off tour, I'm not going to the Rainbow for dinner.
I'm not going to the club.
Yeah, I'm not going to the club.
Eat the Reuben special, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had the bandana on. He was ready to go, man. It's like he was ready to do a show. But anyway, so we hooked up with Bret, and Bret said, you know what? Why don't you talk to our PR girl, Deb Rosner, and let me see, you know, she can help you guys just get your name out there. I know who you guys are. I know you're great players. And, you know, Hollywood's a tough, it's a tough one to crack. So
it helped that you guys were from the same area.
Absolutely. Yeah. It helped that we knew each other. But it's a funny story, man. There was a little trickery in this, and I can talk about this. It's cool. So we go to Deb Rosner's place, God bless her, and my brother's actually now on the phone with Bret Michaels, and he said, yeah, talk to Deb. Deb will hook you up and this and that and the other. He goes, all right, Bret, cool. And Bret goes, all right, man, talk to you later. Bye. and hangs up. But my brother goes, oh, what, Brett? What did you say? Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks. He was completely, Brett was already gone. Hangs up and says, hey, Deb, Brett says, open up your Rolodex. For any people young, they don't know what the hell a Rolodex is. Anyway, open up your book and give us, you know, give every contact. And she goes, okay, he's my boss. And all right, so all right, I want you to call this person. I want you to call that person. And we did, man. And that's how it started. And then it was hard, hard work. So we were about 14 guys in a tour bus living at a KOA campground. And let me tell you, that shower, after 14 guys shower, It was brutal. And we were so poor that we would label our nectarines. Like, it was a luxury to have, like, a nice piece of fruit.
And what are you doing for gigs? I mean, are you playing every stage you could possibly get your hands on in L.A.? How's it work at that point?
We were a little bit more strategic. What we would do is, because we bought that bus, we said, we're going to write music in this bus. And we did. We had a little studio in the back. And we're going to do our one big L.A. show. We're going to promote the Holy Jesus out of it. And then we're going to jump in the bus and we're going somewhere else. So we would do our big show. And then we would hit clubs in Texas and clubs in Arizona, where a lot of the L.A. guys just stayed in L.A. and they waited for their
break or whatever.
Their gig. Yeah. So we worked, man. We worked hard. I will tell you that I drank more diesel fuel than you've had hot meals. That bus broke down all the time, but we stayed out there.
Let me ask, I mean, you know, as the bands evolve and the bands change names and you continue to stay in the scene, I mean, there is something, there's this lore about bands like Van Halen or even Motley Crue or The Poison, where they're in places like the Troubadour or Rainbow, as you mentioned, like just you know, sort of this eclectic group of musicians in the 80s with their long hair and their tight pants, just sort of, you know, all sort of hanging around. Talk about that time, about the idea of the camaraderie of the hair metal scene, the heavy metal scene.
You know, we were all feeding off of each other. We all had that same common goal. And if you could conquer the Sunset Strip, it was very likely you were going to do something. And, it was a great feeling, to, you know, for Brunette too.
That was the band Brunette. Right?
Yeah. We had 17 feet of hair. God, we were crazy. We used to cut it and sell it. I mean, talk about crazy, but seriously. And what's crazy is people would buy it. But anyway, yeah, we worked hard, but all the bands shared that whole common goal of getting that big record deal and filling those clubs, and we did that. We hold to this day records, attendance records. We beat like Van Halen's record at Roxy and Troubadour, and the Doors. We beat the Doors record. How do you beat the Doors record? But we did, and we never got a record deal.
Why not?
You know, I'll tell you why. Honestly, I was the principal songwriter, and I wasn't, the songs just weren't there yet. I was still growing as a songwriter and an artist, we just didn't have it.
It seems to me, and you know from living it, but I just from a casual fan and someone who's just picked up the you know, biographies or watched what, you know, documentaries and fictionalized TV, it seemed like music was the secondary thing. It always felt like, you know, the style and the popularity and even the chemistry or the sex appeal is what. I mean, because half of those bands couldn't write songs, right? I mean, half the songs that we remember from those days, you're like, yeah. You listen back, you're like, yeah.
Well, you know, it was the song at that moment. And the record companies were like looking for that song. So when Poison wrote, you know, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, we want a song like Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Right.
And so we would try to emulate, we try to match it, we try to come up with something, and it was just it didn't work. And you know, the audience was coming out to see the big attendance. They were coming out to see the stage show and the, you know, the craziness and the long hair and the sweat and the whole thing. And yeah, they weren't as concerned with the songs as they were who's on stage.
So what do you do in that case as a struggling artist, as someone who's living out of the van or possibly, you know, just in LA to try and make it, and it's not happening? What do you do as a rock and roll? You got attendance records at the clubs where you're supposed to do. You got the look. You got the sound. What do you do in that moment?
You first listen. And you have to respect the people in the industry. They know when guys like John Kalodner, you know, tell you, hey, guys, the songs aren't there. I'm going to put you with some writers. And we're like, writers? Well, we're writers. What do you mean? you have to stop and listen. And it's an art, and you're just like a painter just keeps painting and painting. You just have to keep working, working, working. And that's exactly what we did. We work with a number of writers, and I learned so much about songwriting and, structure. You can't get too caught up in the fact that the house is full. You have to also satisfy the industry. You got to do more.
Johnny Giulli in studio with me, the lead singer of the band Hardline, talking about his life. He's been in several different bands. Hardline's got a new album out called Human Nature, charting on Billboard. He's going to be unplugged at the Rock and Skull Fest at the Tree in Joliet this weekend, tomorrow night. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll see. I want to talk about your... It's really interesting to me because for as much as people may know your work and we talk about not getting a record deal here in America, oh my God, like you turn on your Facebook page or your Twitter or, put Facebook Live on and you've got fans coming in from Europe, from internet, from South America, wherever it is. It's just
everywhere.
Just like, Johnny!
Everywhere.
Like that fever from those hard rock days is still alive. It's just not, it may not be right here.
That's right. You hear that, kids? Daddy's a rock star.
He's a rock star.
Now, Brandon, this is a shout out to my kids. Brandon, go to bed. It's getting late. Katie, finish your homework. All right.
That was so rock star.
That was so rock star, right?
So rock star.
I had it.
Johnny Giulli in studio with me. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Stay with us.
I couldn't believe that your touch was for me. The tenderness after the bitterness you see. I wouldn't have dreamed of the bond that we had. But here we are now alone. And where did we go wrong?
Gotta have a ballad. You gotta have a ballad. That's what you've learned from this life. Johnny Giulli in studio. It. That's the song Take You Home, which is off the new Hardline record, Human Nature, which is charting a Billboard now. You can check out Johnny Unplugged at the Rock and Skull Fest in Joliet at the Tree in Joliet. This weekend is going to be tomorrow night at the Tree in Joliet. All right, let's keep... I'm fascinated. I mean, so we pick up the story where you don't get a record deal, but you've had such a tremendous career playing in clubs. I mean, you gig constantly, not to mention we'll talk just in a second about the international life that you have. I mean, the amount of fans and people that come out for Hardline, for you, for the bands that you've been in Germany, all over. I mean, even Afghanistan, the kids in Afghanistan are like, Johnny, they're wishing you a happy birthday.
True story, man. It's unbelievable. And they're everywhere. I'm blown away every day. And I wasn't a big social media guy. So I am now, and I never knew how many people have lived with this music for like a lifetime, and I've met some incredible people.
For you, going back to the 80s, I mean, the concept of one of the things that you really held your hat on or hung your hat on is this concept of promotion, getting bodies out to the club.
Exactly.
That was something that you guys were able to do, and you continue to do it. You see it with, use technology and social media, but that's where this comes from, this idea of this international. You're a hard worker and you're a promoter. Where's that come from? And tell me about that.
My brother and I were always the kind of the business minds of the band, and we're always looking for creative ways to promote. I mean, that was the game, man. That was the name of the game. It wasn't just flyering. We had to do better than put a flyer on someone's car. And, funny story. One day we decided, what can we do? We need to reach a mass amount of people at one time. So we went through the Yellow Pages. For any of you that don't know what that is, that's a big book. The Yellow Pages. And we found this company that would fly an airplane over the sports arena and while Van Halen was doing a show. But what happened, to promote one of our shows, we said, we're going to hit like 50,000 people.
You're going to hit all the people that are coming in for Van Halen.
Exactly.
They're going
to
hear
about it. And we're going to get that audience.
Right.
Funny story, man. So we did that, but the pilot flew dangerously low, probably illegally. And
you can't do that today.
Do that today, man. That is for sure. But he did that, and there was a surge of fans. And what's so cool about it is later on in Hardline, we toured with Van Halen. And I was talking to Michael Anthony. I said, Michael, do you remember when you guys played in L.A.? And do you happen to remember this airplane that came by? And he looked at me and goes, yeah, man. That was during my bass solo. I said, that was us. He was like, I'm going to kill you, man. It was so much fun. And he remembered that. I mean, so we always look for ways to do crazy promotions.
I mean, you have to continue to do that when you talk about an international audience, when you talk about getting international audiences who seem to have more of a penchant for American rock than maybe some of the American audiences. Let's be frank about it. I mean,
they do, man.
Yeah, we see that in jazz. We see that in blues. Sure. We see it in house music. That's a big thing where it plays well in Europe. This American music plays well in music, but not so much back at home. Right. What do you have to do as a musician to encourage that, to foster that kind of relationship with audiences that you only see once in a while when you're touring, things of that
nature? Well, it's a great question. You know, and for an artist, you have to cater to your audience. So I spend a lot of time in Europe and Asia. And like I said earlier, you want to have your music accepted by whomever wants to accept it. So, you know, honestly, my audience is not as vibrant here in the U.S. as it is in Europe. So I focus there. It's not that I don't love the U.S. audience. It's just that it just doesn't quite work as well. We've sort of moved on.
It's funny because hard rock and, you know, hair metal morphed into hard rock. Hard rock went, we talked about this when we talked last time, just this concept of alt rock kind of, or alternative rock, Nirvana, right. Pearl Jam. They kind of took the legs out of hard rock music. Whew. It's fascinating to me that it never really recovered when you talk about MTV or Top 40 or this idea, because it used to be ballads and Aerosmith and Whitesnake and bands like The Poison that were in heavy rotation, and they've been replaced by the Ariana Grandes and the Justin Biebers of the world. I mean, there always have been that kind of music. Why is that? Why hasn't our at least mainstream media or music experience, why has it negated hard rock? Why has that gone to the wayside?
I don't know. I mean, I wish if I knew that answer, I'd be able to correct a few things. But I think that our culture here is just different. We're very fast paced. We're cutting edge. We're moving. We're just, you know, the better car, the more technology, auto braking, the you know, the side impact,
robots.
Whatever.
Sure, yeah, sure.
You know, and in Europe, they're just a little more, you know, it's a bit of a simple lifestyle, you know, a little bit calmer approach to things, and they accept something, they embrace something they love, and they hold on to it. They really don't care about change as much as we do here. That's what I see here. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with change at all. I think change is great. But musically speaking, it's difficult here in the U.S. for an artist to sort of, especially an 80s style artist. Well, if it wasn't for these festivals, man, I don't know what these bands would do.
Well, I mean, for you as an artist who came up in the 80s and bought the Jimmy Buffett van and went out to L.A. to make it on Sunset Strip, that's gone.
It's gone.
That experience, the music industry, as you know it, it's gone.
It's sad, man.
Are you the kind of musician, I mean, at your age, I mean, can you adjust to the way that the internet is working, that the music industry has changed, where MP3s and people, I mean, you're competing with 15-year-olds who are mixing stuff in their bedroom. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, I'm only 22 years old, so I still have time. No, I'm just kidding.
In 1987,
you that were, was the you one were four, leg. Right? The other leg is double that, and then some. So, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm glad I'm not an up and coming artist. If I was, I would really take advantage of all the social media. I think today it's not about secrets. Back in my day, man, you did not know where Whitesnake was recording or where they were rehearsing. It was all top secret. Now with social media, you
got to promote it.
You got to not only promote it, but you have to be engaged. Now the fan now is really interested. They want to know how stuff works. They want to, you know, and that's why we can talk a little bit later about the solo project that I'm putting together. Mm-hmm. It's full social engagement. I'm talking to these people. And, you know, we were mentioning countries like Afghanistan and Moscow and Spain and Germany. These fans really do exist, and I engage with them. So
that's
I think the secret for new artists is to do just that. You've got to not only present music to a fan, you've got to talk to this fan, you've got to engage with them, you've got to, you know, you've got to appreciate them before they appreciate you.
Well, tomorrow night, Johnny Gioeli will be at the Rock and Skull Fest at the Tree in Joliet. It's a it's a weekend festival, hard rock festival that features bands like L.A. Guns, some members from Bad Company, P.J. Farley from the band Trickster.
Right,
of course,
right.
Johnny will be there as well. He's a frontman for Hardline. The band has a new album out called Human Nature, which is charting on Billboard. He's working on his solo record. When you get that done, we'll just have part three.
Oh, yeah, man. We'll
just have part three.
We'll do it. Are you kidding?
Johnny, thanks for coming in studio.
Hey, brother,
and appreciate the conversation.
Likewise, man. Thanks.